The U.S. Supreme Court says it will decide whether same-sex couples nationwide have a right to marry under the Constitution.
These are the most sympathetic plaintiffs imaginable, and we're going to see a lot of them. And you won't be able to avoid seeing a lot of them.
Two men and two women can't marry. Don't you understand that? It's perversion.
Local officials say some employees feel uncomfortable marrying two men or two women.
First of all, I'm not married. I'm married. That's all.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The U.S. Supreme Court accepts a marriage proposal. Ban Ki-moon slams India's throwback sex law. And Jon Stewart and Ellen DeGeneres skewer the right. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Natalie Peebles.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending January 17, 2015. The United States Supreme Court announced on January 16th that it would review a ruling upholding bans on civil marriage for same-gender couples by the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. That November 2014 decision supporting the bans in Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Tennessee contradicted earlier rulings by four other federal appeals courts that struck down similar bans in several other states. Most analysts believe that the contrary ruling by the Sixth Circuit forced the justices to hear the cases to settle the issue once and for all. They said they would rule only on two questions, both centered on constitutional guarantees of equal protection of the laws. Does the 14th Amendment to the Constitution require states to license a marriage between two people of the same sex? And does the 14th Amendment require a state to recognize a marriage between two people of the same sex when their marriage was lawfully licensed and performed out of state? The justices allotted 90 minutes for oral arguments on the first question and 1 hour for oral arguments on the second question. The hearings will be held in April, and a final ruling is expected to be issued in late June.
The Supreme Court rejected a request earlier in the week to bypass a federal appeals court review and hear directly the case of a district court ruling that upheld Louisiana's ban. The Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals actually heard a challenge to that ban on January 9th, along with challenges by state officials to bans that were overturned in Mississippi and Texas.
A federal judge in Michigan ruled on January 15th that the state must recognize the legal marriages of some 300 same-gender couples who wed in 2014 during the brief time that they could before the Sixth Circuit stayed a lower court ruling that had overturned the state's ban.
In the first ruling of its kind in Kentucky, Jefferson Family Court Judge Joseph O'Reilly approved the divorce of two Louisville women who were legally married in Massachusetts. Current law says marriages of same-gender couples performed elsewhere are void in Kentucky. But O'Reilly ruled this week that barring married same-gender couples from divorce violates the state constitutional guarantee that all people should be treated equally.
The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals on January 9th refused requests by officials in Nevada and Idaho to refer to a larger 11-judge panel the ruling by three judges of the court that struck down their respective marriage bans. The Coalition for the Protection of Marriage had asked for a rehearing of the Nevada case, and Idaho Governor Butch Otter, in his failed attempt to stop the ongoing civil marriages of same-gender couples in his state, claimed that his arguments would have broken new legal ground.
And U.S. District Judge Karen Schreier ruled this week that South Dakota's ban violates the Due Process and Equal Protection Clauses of the U.S. Constitution. Even though she said that the state had not shown that the ban serves a compelling government interest, she put her ruling on indefinite hold, pending expected appeals.
Elsewhere, a gay couple who married in England but live in Northern Ireland has filed papers with the Belfast High Court that call on the government to legally recognize their marriage. The couple has chosen to remain anonymous, but without an affirmative ruling, Northern Ireland will likely by year's end be the only major part of the UK without marriage equality. Northern Ireland's ruling party has rejected any legislative efforts to open civil marriage to same-gender couples. Citizens in Ireland itself will be voting on the issue in May. The most recent polls have found more than 70% favor marriage equality.
Meanwhile, Jaime Rafael Diaz Ochoa, the mayor of Mexicali in Baja California, could be removed from office for defying a Mexican Supreme Court ruling that approved the civil marriage of Alex Ali Mendez and José Luis Márquez. Marriage equality in the country has been advancing literally couple by couple, as courts have granted them, but only the plaintiff couple in each case, the right to get married. Mendez and Márquez first planned to marry in November, but were forced to cancel the nuptials after a bomb threat was phoned in to Mexicali City Hall. They were then told by registry officials that there were unresolved paperwork issues. They were set to try again last week, but Angelica Guadalupe González Sánchez, president of the Coalition of Baja California Families, refused to certify their attendance at one of her mandatory premarital talks, telling reporters that the two men suffer from madness. Mendez and Márquez said through their attorney that one day their tricks will end and we will never get tired of trying. The couple's plight has generated a social media firestorm with the hashtag Mis derechos no son locura, My rights are not insanity, started by popular actor and director Felipe Najera, who, with his spouse Jaime Morales, became Mexico's first same-gender couple to legally adopt a baby.
Austria's constitutional court has ruled that lesbian and gay couples have the same right as heterosexuals to adopt children, even if they can't legally marry in the country. Chief Judge Gerhard Holzinger said that the country's adoption restrictions violated anti-discrimination provisions of the European Human Rights Convention, adding that there is no objective argument for a differing rule based solely on the sexual orientation of the parents. Only married heterosexual couples were previously allowed to adopt. A same-gender parent in a registered partnership, which offers some of the rights of heterosexual marriage, was, until this week's ruling, only allowed to adopt the biological child of her or his partner.
As we reported when the news first broke last week, the 26 men who were paraded half-naked before TV cameras during a police raid of a Cairo bathhouse were unexpectedly acquitted of debauchery on January 12th. Defense lawyers had criticized the prosecution's case, arguing that it was based on a faulty investigation and only one police officer's testimony. All of the men were reportedly subjected to anal examinations, which supporters claim can determine homosexuality based on a measurement of the tightness of the rectal sphincter muscle. Ironically, that examination requires penetration of the rectum with undefined so-called medical instruments. The practice has been condemned as torture by human rights groups and as quackery by almost every major medical group on the planet. While activists celebrated the acquittal of the men, they stressed that it does not signal a lessening of the recent crackdown on LGBT people in Egypt. Prosecutors have already filed an appeal, while defense lawyers seek their clients' release from jail.
United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has accused the Indian government of fomenting intolerance by supporting, at least tacitly, Penal Code Section 377, which outlaws private consensual adult gay sex. The nation's highest court reinstated the British colonial-era statute in 2013, 4 years after it had been struck down by a lower court. Speaking on a visit to the capital, New Delhi, this week, Ban said that laws forbidding consenting adult same-gender relationships violate basic rights to privacy and to freedom from discrimination. Even if they are not enforced, he added, these laws breed intolerance. A spokesperson for the ruling BJP government made news earlier in the week by telling an Indian news channel that, for the first time, it would support legislative repeal of Section 377.
Ban's comments came on the same day that a minister from India's ruling party in the coastal resort state of Goa announced his plans to make LGBT people normal. Ramesh Tawadkar, Goa's sports and youth affairs minister, told reporters that he would open centers patterned on Alcoholics Anonymous to train them and give them medicines, too. Homosexuality is not genetic, he said. If our parents were homosexuals, then we would not have been born. So it's unnatural. Tawadkar's comments drew widespread ridicule and criticism from LGBT rights groups, hundreds of jeering jabs on Twitter, and calls by the opposition party for his resignation. He then told reporters that he had been misunderstood and misquoted. I was not talking about LGBT youths, he claimed, but about drug-addicted and sexually abused youths.
Must be some kind of
And finally, Russia's health ministry has clarified a story from last week that all transgender people would be banned from getting driver's licenses. It was widely reported that Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev had authorized the bans on anyone considered to have sex disorders, such as transsexualism and dual-role transvestism. But Health Minister Oleg Salagai explained this week that not all transgender individuals would be denied licenses, saying that the varying severity of mental disorders among patients, as well as their need for psychotropic drugs that significantly alter their reactions, make it impossible for certain people to drive. The new regulations will only apply to less than 1% of patients in the category Disorders of Adult Personality and Behavior, Salagai said, under which transgender people are classified in the current World Health Organization system. Officials at the WHO have already announced that those definitions would be reviewed prior to the publication of a revision of its classification of diseases in 2017. LGBT activists are calling for the WHO to completely depathologize transsexual people.
That's News Wrap for the week ending January 17th, 2015. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Natalie Peoples.
That Baja California gay couple who've been trying to marry since November after Mexico's Supreme Court approved it have confirmed the old adage, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Alex Ali Mendez and Jose Luis Marquez had come to participate in a January 17th marriage equality demonstration at Mexicali City Hall, where they tried to get married three times before. After the couple and their attorney spent about 30 minutes behind closed doors in the mayor's office, they emerged to announce that the marriage was finally on. And after the ceremony, under a canopy in front of City Hall, about 500 equality demonstrators turned the planned protests into a celebration with chants of, "Yes, we could, yes, we could." Elsewhere in Baja California, the mayor of Tijuana has invited all same-gender couples to get married in his city. Stay tuned. Jon Stewart and Ellen DeGeneres salute the stupid later in the program. As we reported earlier in News Wrap, the United States Supreme Court on January 16th finally agreed to take on the issue of marriage equality. Pacifica Radio News reporter Mark Miracle had the details that night.
Setting the stage for a potentially historic ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court says it will decide whether same-sex couples nationwide have a right to marry under the Constitution. The justices said today they will review an appellate ruling that upheld bans on same-sex unions in four states. The case will be argued in April. A decision is expected by late June. Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Tennessee are among the 14 states where gay and lesbian couples are not allowed to marry. The number of states that permit same-sex marriage has nearly doubled in 3 months as a result of federal and state court rulings. The justices' decision last October to turn away same-sex marriage appeals allowed some of those rulings to take effect. Florida last week became the 36th state to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. The court is extending the time it usually allots for argument from an hour to 2.5 hours. The justices will consider two related questions. The first is whether the Constitution requires states to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. The other is whether states must recognize same-sex marriages legally performed elsewhere. I'm Mark Miracle.
MSNBC News commentator Rachel Maddow put the Supreme Court decision to hear those marriage equality cases into perspective.
On the morning of June 26, 2013, there were 12 states in the country where it was legal for same-sex couples to get married. That day, The Supreme Court issued their landmark ruling in the case of Edie Windsor. That ruling struck down part of the Bill Clinton-era anti-gay marriage law called the Defense of Marriage Act. The Windsor ruling did not legalize gay marriage across the country, but it did contain some pretty powerful language about the law showing animus toward gay people and gay people being treated as second-class citizens. Conservative Justice Antonin Scalia was his usual level of snark furious about the Windsor ruling, from which he dissented. He said he not only disagreed with the majority ruling that day, he said the ruling was written so broadly and so poorly that it might as well have just legalized gay marriage across the land. And when Antonin Scalia said that, he meant that as an insult? He meant that as a bad thing? But to the delight of gay rights supporters everywhere, Justice Scalia, in that doom-laden pronouncement, he turned out to be right. It has only been 18 months since Edie Windsor's case. And since then, the proportion of people in this country living where there are equal marriage rights has gone from less than 20% of the population to 70% of the population. It's been a sort of exhilarating year and a half. It was all going one direction, one state after the other, everything going in the same direction until November. 2 days after the midterm elections, when Democrats just got it handed to them, an appeals court in Ohio, federal appeals court, just one level below the Supreme Court, they went the other way. And that ruling in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, that ruling upheld bans on gay marriage in four states, in Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Tennessee. The Supreme Court had declined to take up another case that could have been a national test case for marriage. The liberal Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, otherwise known as Notorious RBG, she explained in a public interview at the time that as long as all the lower courts were all ruling in the same direction, they were all ruling in favor of marriage rights, there was really no reason for the Supreme Court to come in and make a decision for the whole country. Basically, it was happening on its own anyway. Why would the Supreme Court interfere? One of the basic functions of the U.S. Supreme Court is to settle things that are in dispute among the lower courts. And now we really do have that dispute. Joining us now is Nina Totenberg, legal affairs correspondent with NPR. Ms. Totenberg, it's nice to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Nice to be here.
As a veteran court watcher and somebody who I think is pretty intimately familiar with a lot of the justices' reasoning on cases like this, does the court's decision to take up these cases at this time, in this way, does it afford any signal to you one way or the other about what you think they want to do on this issue?
I thought the signal was earlier in the year, or last year in October, when they didn't take a case. And they didn't take any of those cases, and they were perfectly happy to let these states go forward, let people get married in the thousands and the tens of thousands. And if there's a signal to be seen, that is more likely the signal.
If the Supreme Court does side effectively with the Sixth Circuit here, do people get unmarried? I mean, do gay marriage bans get reinstated? What happens to those thousands of couples and tens of thousands of couples who are married now but may find themselves suddenly living in a Wyoming that's less respectful of their marriage than it was just a couple of months ago?
Well, that's sort of the problem in a way. And the court can't have been oblivious to what it was doing when it let these states go forward. Some states would try to put the genie back in the bottle, but how do you do that? Do you say to people now, we recognized your marriage yesterday because the court told us we had to, but today we don't? Okay, or then let's say you say, all right, everybody who got married gets to stay married, but you can't get married in the future. But then, sure as donuts, there's going to be another lawsuit from people who can't get married now saying, those people you allowed to get married and you're not letting us get married, we're being denied the equal protection of the law. So that's why it's very, very difficult to put this genie back in the bottle. Now, that's not to say that there are five votes to legalize same-sex marriage in all 50 states. I mean, Justice Kennedy, who's clearly the linchpin here and has written every major gay rights decision of the 21st century and one in the 20th century, he has been very clear about his respect for the rights of states to define what the rules are for marriage within the confines of those states. But that doesn't get rid of some of the practical problems that now exist. And the gay rights advocates have picked very carefully poster children for these lawsuits, who are the best and most upstanding and most wonderful citizens you could ever imagine. These are not people who've had, you know, been married three times in 3 years. These are parents who are raising disabled children. One of the Michigan couples, or they're two nurses, they each work 12-hour shifts. They divide them up so that, and they have disabled children that they've adopted. We've got people who are living in and married in states where same-sex marriage is legal, but who have adopted a child from a state where it's not legal, like Ohio, and they can't both be listed on the adoption certificate because Ohio won't let them. We have widowers who the state won't put their names on the death certificate as a surviving spouse, and that has all kinds of legal implications in terms potentially of inheritance and taxes and all kinds of other things. We have people who've been in the, who are in the military, who've gone to Afghanistan and then been married in a state that's where it's legal, and then now are assigned to a state where it's not legal, and that has all other kinds of consequent legal problems because that state, Tennessee, for example, doesn't recognize the marriage of the state of New York. So these are all the most sympathetic plaintiffs imaginable, and we're going to see a lot of them. And you won't be able to avoid seeing a lot of them. And, you know, that's the best case, and that's what's going to get presented to the Supreme Court.
Nina Totenberg, legal affairs correspondent for NPR, thanks very much for helping us understand this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It is fascinating. You know, we look back at the Edie Windsor decision, and that decision is famous and memorable not just for its impact in terms of the fact that it set off this tide of legalizing same-sex marriage in all these places you never could have imagined it, like Utah and Wyoming and Alaska and all the rest. It's famous for its impact, but it's also famous because of the story of Edie Windsor in her later years exclaiming to the court that she can't believe she's there. And the person at the heart of that ended up being such an important part of how we think of that case. I think that Nina Totenberg is right, that that's part of how we're going to think about this forthcoming landmark case.
That was MSNBC News commentator Rachel Maddow.
I'm Kate Clinton, and while I can joke about the political state of our country, it's no laughing matter what Congress could do to our civil rights.
Hi, I'm Cleve Jones, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine.
An informed community is a strong community.
As happy same-gender couples started marching down the aisle in yet another U.S. state, Comedy Central satirist Jon Stewart marked the occasion on his Daily Show by throwing some rice at the newlyweds and some shade at their detractors.
I'm happy to say there is great news from the Sunshine State.
Florida joins the growing list of states where same-sex marriage is now legal.
I'm lifting the state.
Woo! Yeah! It's a celebration.
Obviously, anytime you have a judicial ruling like this, not everybody's going to be happy.
A small group of protesters picketed with signs outside of the clerk of court's office, and at times they directly confronted the gay couples waiting in line.
Two men and two women can't marry. Don't you understand that? It's perversion. It's not marriage. It's perversion.
It's a perversion.
I'm sorry if gay marriage skeeves you out there, buddy, but it's the law of the land now. What are you going to do? I guess you could cancel all courthouse marriages, you know, but that would be unbelievably petty, spiteful, and vindictive.
Duval, Clay, and Baker County no longer give couples the option to get married in the courthouse, and that goes for all couples, gay or straight.
You're not going to perform any marriages because of this? Let me tell you something. Before you condemn these counties, know that what they're doing is all in the name of tolerance.
Local officials say some employees feel uncomfortable marrying two men or two women.
The spokesperson saying it could cause discriminations down there with those who are uncomfortable. We wanted to eliminate any unfairness.
Yes, we don't want to cause discriminations against county court employees who don't feel like following the law. These people didn't choose to be county clerks. They were born that way. And let's talk about some of the fine citizens you're trying to protect.
from the blight of legal same-sex marriage.
A Florida man caught trying to trade an alligator for beer.
A Florida woman allegedly setting a man's car on fire at McDonald's after he refused to buy her a McFlurry.
A wealthy Florida man has adopted his girlfriend.
A Florida man who dresses like a woman and claims to be a doctor is now accused of injecting a patient with cement.
South Florida man is in some trouble. It started with him trying to hit his employees with a lizard.
A Florida man trying to shoplift a chainsaw by stuffing it into his pants.
Florida, you don't get to judge others when your state motto is, if Darwin was right, we wouldn't be here.
That was the highly evolved Jon Stewart of Comedy Central's The Daily Show. And last but not least this week, a Christian columnist has forced comedian and TV talk show maven Ellen DeGeneres to reveal her less than controversial hidden agenda.
You know, I've told you this before. I don't usually read anything about myself. I don't look at the tabloids or the internet unless it's about me being pregnant, and then how else would I know? You gotta find out. But I heard there was an article written about me, and I would like to address it right now. It's a pastor who wrote an article for the Christian Post where he accuses Hollywood of having a gay agenda and said that Ellen DeGeneres celebrates her lesbianism and marriage in between appearances of guests like Taylor Swift to attract young girls. Okay, let's just break this down. First of all, I'm not married. I'm married. That's all. Larry, I don't even know what it means to celebrate my lesbianism. I mean, well, I guess I do. It's like that. There. Okay. So in the article, the pastor criticizes a lot of TV shows for promoting gay agendas. He says that Glee has over 5 characters. Modern Family had a gay wedding. Anderson Cooper boasts about his homosexuality. If you ask me, Larry's watching a lot of gay TV. Larry, the only way I'm trying to influence people is to be more kind and compassionate with one another. That is the message that I'm sending out. I don't have an agenda. I'm not here to brainwash anyone, but listen to the sound of my voice. Attention, youth of the world. I want you to live your lives being exactly who you are. Be true to yourself. The most important thing is to be true to yourself. The second most important thing is that you wear Ellen underwear and only Ellen underwear.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Christopher Gall, Natalie Peoples, and Kate Clinton and Cleve Jones contributed program material, with thanks, as always, to Steve Pride. Genesis performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and our listener supporters for making this program possible. Visit us at thiswayout.org for special offers, social media links, and more. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 4ZZZ Brisbane, Queensland, WORT Madison, Wisconsin, Radio Phoenix, Phoenix, Arizona, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.